Hey y'all, Henny here with Hooked on Crime Pod, the podcast where we talk about hooks and crooks. Hope y'all have your hooks and yarn ready. Today, we are going to continue our journey into the murders and mystery of a small Missouri town. Welcome to episode 2 of The Crimes of Skidmore. Hopefully y'all have went to Ravelry.com/stores/raw-hook to pick up a pattern from our Crochet Spotlight Artist of May, Miss Kath Hewitt of Raw Hook Designs. If not, what are you waiting for? She has a plethora of free and paid patterns, and I'm sure you can find something that suits you. I personally am working on the Naughty Slogans pattern pack. I'm on square 7 of 16. I had hoped to have more done, but life got in the way, as I'm sure everyone understands. But please show support to our spotlight artist by going to facebook.com/rawhookdesigns or ravelry.com/stores/raw-hook. Now, y'all, we are going to have a small word from our sponsor, and then we will be right back to talk about case 2 in The Crimes of Skidmore. All right, y'all, and we are back. So today's episode is the shortest of the series simply because it was not covered extensively in the media. So researching it and trying to find the information that I wanted to present to y'all was difficult. And there was a lot of it that I was still unable to find. I could not find much about the histories of the people involved from before October 16th of 2000 when the crime occurred. And I wish that I could. I like to present, you know, the people's backgrounds to y'all, and I was unable to this time, and I'm sorry. When you go to search this case, it's generally just kind of thrown in there in a few sentences with the other cases and almost like a filler. Well, I didn't want this case to be a filler. This case deserves to be spoken about. It was suggested that I skip it just simply because it would be a short episode. It may not be as entertaining to everyone to listen to. It doesn't have a lot of juicy details. And I'm not going to do that simply because, you know, the victims are important. No matter if it is just a little case that, you know, you hear about in your local paper or it's international headline grabbing, you know, 24-hour media news. It deserves to be spoken about. And I have the who, the when, and the where, and the how, but I don't have much other information. And I hope that with the little bit that I have, I can do the story justice, because that's what it needs. It deserves to be spoken about because, you know, it shouldn't be forgotten. It shouldn't just be slipped in there somewhere. This was someone's life, and I'm sure that their family still thinks about them daily, and, you know, it deserves more than just filler. It really does. So, y'all, here we go. Today we'll be talking about the murder of Wendy Gillenwater. Wendy was born January 8th, 1975 in Fairfax, Missouri. People say that she loved her family, and her family loved her, and she was very kind. But sadly, like I said, I couldn't find much more about her. So October 16th, 2000, she was living with her boyfriend at 406 East Elm Street in Skidmore. And her boyfriend is Greg Dragoo. And all I could find about Greg was he was born July 29th, 1974, had a substance abuse problem, and was very abusive towards Wendy. He often isolated her from friends and family. He controlled her life, and he was physically abusive as well as emotionally and mentally abusive. So in the late afternoon hours of October 16th, 2000, something set Greg off, and he started screaming at Wendy, and the neighbors heard him yelling at her and her trying to calm him down, and then he started beating her. Well, it was reported that he had struck her with a flashlight. I don't know how true that is because I couldn't find much more information on it than one source. But the fact is he started beating on her, and eventually he drags her outside across the porch, down the steps into the yard by her hair, and he continues to pummel her. And he looks up and he sees a neighbor watching through the window, but Greg doesn't care. He just continues his brutal assault on Wendy. He is not satisfied with just beating her at this point. He goes in and he grabs the dish soap off the kitchen sink, takes it outside, and forces it down Wendy's throat. And so another neighbor comes out to see what all the fuss is, what all the noise is, and that neighbor sees what happens, immediately rushes inside to call the police. And by the time the police show up and the paramedics show up, Greg is sitting on the front steps and Wendy is lying lifeless and bloody in the yard. Sorry, I'm looking through my notes. But she is taken by ambulance and the paramedics did all that they could, but she was pronounced deceased at 5:13 p.m. And when her mom got to the hospital to identify her, she was beaten so badly that her mom had to identify her by the rings on her fingers. And I'm a mom, and I couldn't imagine something happening to my child, let alone not being able to identify them by their face because somebody mangled them. I couldn't imagine having to identify my child based on the rings that they wore. So my heart goes out to Wendy's mama. And I'm sorry if this, you know, is a less upbeat episode. It really hurts to talk about, just knowing that this case is generally used as a filler when it's someone's life, and it makes me upset. And I remember when this case happened, and I always thought it was so sad. So anyway, back to it. Greg is being questioned by the police, and he said that he lost all control and he snapped and he beat her to death. And while he was doing so, Wendy never fought back. And it didn't matter to Greg that she didn't fight back. He punched her, he slapped her, he stomped her, he kicked her so hard that he had bruises on the tops of his feet. And I can't imagine wanting to harm someone in such a way. I'm sorry, y'all. This case, it gets to me. And I mean, he stomped her like a bug. He really did. And I just find it disgusting. So, you know, Greg states that, you know, she never fought back. And that is something that a lot of abused women, you know, they do. That's a strategy for them. They say, oh, well, if I don't fight back, he'll stop. If I don't fight back, it won't be as bad. He won't hurt me as bad. But it didn't work for Wendy. And so the coroner report states that Wendy had 6 shattered ribs on the right side and 8 shattered ribs on the left. Her liver was lacerated, as was one of her lungs. Both lungs were collapsed, and she suffered extensive trauma and internal bleeding. Wendy was in such bad shape that it was falsely reported that Greg had chained her to his truck and had drug her all over Skidmore. The coroner's report and the statements given by the neighbor that called the police say otherwise. So the dragging story is still reported today. And that was actually what I had heard when I was young and heard about this case the first time, not long after it happened. Because, you know, like I had said in the first episode, I grew up not far from there. So, you know, Skidmore News was in our papers, and I remember hearing about the dragging, but it, you know, like the coroner said, he stomped her. He stomped her to death. There wasn't signs of, you know, gravel or dirt in her wounds that would indicate dragging. and the dragging story is still reported today falsely. I think it is used to sensationalize the case, but in all honesty, this case is already a mess. This man takes this gal outside and he beats her to a bloody pulp and pours dishwashing liquid down her throat. But that's not enough for people. Oh no, they have to report it as a dragging death. But there, again, was no evidence of that. So when you look online, half the time you're going to find out that it's reported as he stomped her to death, which is what's in the coroner report, or that he drug her to death. I'm here to tell you that the coroner report states that he stomped her to death. The dragging death is, in my opinion, sensationalized. It is gossip that got out of hand and became news. Because I don't know if y'all are like me, but growing up in small towns, you know, it's easy to tell Susie Q at the post office, oh, the sky looks real blue today. And then Susie tells Betty Joe something and a little something gets added on. And Betty Joe tells, you know, Billy over at the mechanic and something else gets added on. And by the time it gets back to you, you have told Susie Q, not that the sky was blue today, but that aliens were coming and Godzilla ate the mayor. Y'all think I'm crazy and you think I'm lying, but I'm really not. It is crazy how rumors and gossip get out of hand in small towns. So Greg gets sentenced to second-degree murder, and he is serving a life sentence in the Western Missouri Correctional Center in Cameron, Missouri. Now, if you go back to the first episode of this podcast, the Western Correctional Center is mentioned in the John Edward Robinson case. He had spent some time there back in the day. But yeah, that's all I know about this case. And I wish there was more that I could tell you. But what I can tell you is so many other women are like Wendy, and they're unable to make it out of an abusive relationship. And if you are in a relationship that isn't safe, I'm begging you, please get help. Please don't become another statistic. Don't become another headstone for your family to lay flowers out. Please call the National Abuse Hotline at 1-800-799-7233. Or you can go to thehotline.org and you can chat with someone 24/7. Please find a safe place to do this if you need it. I don't want you to stay in a situation where you aren't safe. If you know someone that needs help, please talk to them. If you can't give them the phone number without their, you know, spouse or whom, or boyfriend or girlfriend or whomever that is hurting them finding out, have them come listen, because I will have the phone number listed in the description of the show and the website listed. And if this can help even one person, I'd like for it to help someone. No one deserves to live in fear. No one deserves to wonder about their safety every day. And I really just, you know, if I can help someone by passing this information along, I would like to. So I hope y'all will join me for another episode soon. And thank you for being here and for listening and for all of the support. Y'all, I got on the Anchor app the other day and I was looking at my plays and downloads. And I have 127. Y'all, I didn't think I was going to get one. I'm going to be real honest. I figured I would just get on here and do this for fun. And 127, that blows my mind. Y'all have made me so happy. And I appreciate you guys. I'm stumbling over my words because I'm so excited. I truly, truly, truly appreciate y'all. And I just think you guys are the best. And so remember, stay safe and get to hooking. We'll talk to y'all next time.